The scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. And if you're faint, whether you've been running or not, don't forget to stay for the coffee hour. However, that'll be after the meeting. Although, you see, if you're not a member, you know, you can still come. But if you're not a member, you also can kind of get first in line. So just, you weigh that out. You say membership has its privileges, it has its liabilities too. Yeah, that's what it is. Where's my first place in the line? Yeah. The sacrifices we make. Eh? Some of you remember that back in December of 2014, it was my candidating Sunday, came and preached, and you were kind enough to issue a unanimous call for me to come, and I urged you, kind of begged you, please don't talk about it and circulate it, because it was middle of December, and the church where I'd served for 19 plus years at that time was, like everybody else, getting ready to celebrate Christmas, and I didn't want to upstage Christmas or take away from it, and it was an awkward time. But as it was, before I wanted to let the word get out, I was in a conversation with two of the people I worked most closely with, was really quite personally attached to, and the conversation got me cornered, and I had to admit to them and kind of swear them to secrecy. It hurt so much to say that I was leaving. Now I can't imagine not being here, but at the time, and I suspect a lot of us can understand that, there can be this feeling of, it hurts to say goodbye to those we love. We're deeply concerned that they will be okay without us. Has anybody else ever had that experience? Hello? Yep, okay, thank you. We want our loved ones to thrive, but we won't be there to help. Kind of one of life's challenges. And I wonder if you can hear some of those emotions in the passage I'll read for us, our message scripture for today. Jesus and his disciples are gathered to celebrate Jewish High Holy Day, first night of Passover. Commemorates how God delivered the Jewish people from slavery under the Pharaoh of Egypt. A lamb would be sacrificed, and the families who took refuge in the Lord were marked by the blood of the lamb. Now Jesus, the true Lamb of God that lamb was kind of pointing toward, is about to be sacrificed in the passage I'm about to read. And after sharing the Seder meal together, he shares these words with him. I'll read from John 16, 19 to 33. Is that coming up? Yeah, okay. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said, 'A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish, because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." On that day, you will ask nothing of me. Very truly, I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Till now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but will tell you plainly of the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name. I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and am going to the Father. His disciples said, "Yes, now you are speaking plainly, not in any figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need to have anyone question you. By this we believe you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said this to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world." Can you hear that same concern that Jesus wants his beloved disciples to thrive, but he won't be there in the same way to help? But he can help. So at the end of his face-to-face time with the 12, Jesus teaches them how to live closely with him going forward. Some of Jesus' words are predicting his death and resurrection, but more is in view. He's also speaking about the time after the ascension. After 40 days of being with them, Jesus would return to his Father in heaven. He wants the 12 to know, however, that they and we can still be in close contact with him. The key that makes this remarkable privilege possible is something the world tends to undervalue: prayer. I think of prayer as the Miss Marple of spiritual practices. Anybody familiar with Miss Marple of Agatha Christie? Okay, you know, elderly spinster, very adept at solving mysteries. She excels at identifying a murderer even when the local constabulary and Scotland Yard are flummoxed. Don't you just love saying flummoxed? But because of her dowdy appearance and her quiet ways, her abilities are almost always underestimated. Well, in the same way, prayer gets underestimated, but it does amazing things. Prayer is so much more than God's suggestion box or self-talk of encouraging words. Prayer is the communication that brings Jesus' companionship to the Christian believer. You don't have to face anything alone. He promises to be with you. Prayer is the key. Now, always remember that wherever Jesus goes, he is always the smartest person in the room. He is the consummate teacher. He wants to equip, in our reading, the apostles with the skill and practice that will enable them to know and do his will in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we can learn that, then we can do what we need to do in our circumstances, even at the most challenging moments. Jesus wants the 12 to continue to have the benefits of his companionship as they go onward in the life and mission to which he has called them. Now, first, in order to do this, they need to understand the lay of the land into which they have been called. He wants them to know that the way of the world is at odds with the way of Christ. If you ever think life is hard, well, that's why. Six times in our passage, Jesus talks about the world. It may surprise you that when we read world, he is saying cosmos. We think of that as vast and the outer space kind of thing. But when the Bible says cosmos, it means the world, or more precisely, the established order. there's a sense of it being the way things are done. The world, as it is often referred to in the Bible, is corrupted space, part of what is in rebellion against God. Now, it can be rather shocking to hear that Jesus considered the world to be in rebellion against his heavenly Father. After all, creation is so beautiful. But speaking of his upcoming execution in verse 20, Jesus says that the world rejoices when Jesus' followers mourn. Who killed Jesus? The Jews? The Romans? You and me? Yes. All of the above. While we, you and I, were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, it's true that many different religions have some form of the golden rule. Our form is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But when Jesus teaches us to love our neighbors, we first have to understand, well, what is love? Real love will always seek the best outcome in the life of the one loved, of the beloved. Jesus says there's no greater love than someone laying down their life for their friend. And this is how we know what love is, that Christ died for us. Now, you see, without the Son of God dying in our place on the cross, we would have no effective plea before the throne of heaven to answer for our selfishness. Earlier in this Gospel of John, Jesus told the Jewish leaders that if they were truly children of God, they would embrace him and what he had come to do. And when Good Friday was over, those religious leaders were glad. They truly rejoiced to have silenced Jesus, or they thought they had. But around that Passover table, the night of the reading that Shirley gave for us, or that I read, gave us, Jesus told his disciples that he would turn their grieving there's pain that we remember when the pain-causing event is past. But when we experience difficulty in the process of producing something great, it puts the pain in perspective. You don't mind it. The discipline it takes to prepare for a marathon or long distance race is worth it. The study that leads to passing a critical exam is worth it. Now, notice I'm dodging the whole idea of whether pregnancy labor is worth it, because any man who touches that subject, it's like a third rail. But when we remember that Jesus is comparing labor to crucifixion, he's certainly not trivializing the pain a woman goes through. So it took the Son of God dying a cruel death to provide an answer for the ways of the world. The way of the world is at odds with the way of Christ. It means we're going to need help. The world may have much beauty in it, but we also know its ways, the established order, can tear you up and spit you out. It happens to you and to me. Jesus knew such pain was crouching at the door of his disciples, just waiting for them to be vulnerable without him, without his companionship, without his protection. So he shows them how he can always be near. Ask in my name, he says. Instead of being defeated by this world, instead of living life as a victim, he gives us the key to victorious living. You know, if a child has grown up in a loving and nurturing home, middle school, junior high years can be a very rude awakening. At that time, a developing person naturally begins to look to their peers as their priority relationships. It's how human development happens. Ironically and painfully, validation and support can be impossible to find among your peers at that age, right? But if the young person has a healthy church youth group to take part in, or some other supportive network of peers, they can deal much better with the difficult people in their lives. Even still, the closest friends will let us down sometimes. Jesus wants us to know that he will always be near. In our opening verse, he refers to something he had said three verses earlier. A little while you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me. In retrospect, we can see that the time of not seeing was between his crucifixion on Good Friday and his rising on Easter Sunday. But the language that Jesus uses means the 12 will not merely see him, like, hey, I can wave to you across the room. It means they will experience him and have a personal encounter. Whenever you're having a bad day, a week or even a year, then it isn't able to, and when that happens, isn't it so good to be able to truly experience that the Crown Prince of Heaven is with you, is helping you, guiding you, is eager to work with you, to weave all the parts of what's happened in your life into something beautiful? He can do that. He does that. Many of us testify to it. That's the key to finding in your life a whole lot more joy. Jesus tells them that even when he is no longer with them face to face, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Now, people have gotten into trouble thinking this is a blank check, blaming God when they didn't receive everything they asked for. And the passage hinges on the words, ask in my name. To put it bluntly, you can't rob a bank in Jesus' name. Just saying. The more we know and understand the Father's will, the more we understand the heart and mission of Jesus, the more we will find amazing answers to prayer. Because his will is best, and as we learn to ask in his name, according to his will, then we see those prayers answered more and more. Now, sometimes miraculous provision is not so much what happens as when. You know, that the Sylvester Trust ran out of beneficiaries, and so the provision in that trust document that led to a gift to our church, you know, that was very, very nice. But that it came at the most severe point of the COVID crisis, when many people had been praying for God to provide for this church and its mission throughout the pandemic, that's the part that has Jesus' fingerprints all over it. I just came back from that Four Seas gathering, another congregational gathering that's doing some really neat things. I met my successor in Thomaston, first time we'd ever met face to face. He told us that a woman who had been quietly active in the church practically her whole life, had surprised everyone, not by dying at age 98, but by leaving this generous legacy to the church, which also became available during the pandemic. Timing is involved so much. You know, whenever a loved one dies, there is deep, deep pain. And it's the same when a job is lost, when the cancer returns. God is weaving so many different things together in our lives and the lives of the people of this world. And life here in this world is not where forever happens. You know, financial security is not the most important kind of security. God loves each of us individually. He may use difficult times in our lives as a lesson to teach us difficult truths. But 50 years of walking with the Lord has taught me that the closer we draw near to him, the more we allow him to shape us and shape our hearts with heaven's purposes, the more he will work wonderful things in us and around us as we ask in Jesus' name. So asking in Jesus' name is a key, the key, to victorious living. He wants us to remember that full, rich, abundant life is found in him. Verse 25 has some ideas that might be confusing. He says, I've been speaking in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer do that, but I will tell you plainly of the Father. So when did he do that? Well, the vast majority of Jesus' earthly ministry, he had to balance teaching what people needed to know with not being boldly obvious of his identity as the only begotten Son of God. Remember, the most important part of his mission was to die for the sins of the world. He had to become the fulfillment of the Old Testament system of sacrifices. He was the Lamb of God. So if his divinity was undeniable, he might have had a hard time getting himself crucified. But after he died and rose again, he could plainly proclaim the plans and purposes of the Father. Jesus' work was not done. He didn't finish it all and we can just coast. He told them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Surely I am with you to the end of the age. At the time of the Passover and the Last Supper, they couldn't know what was coming. But after he had risen from the grave, they could more fully understood that theirs was the immense privilege of being partner with God in heaven's mission to rescue the world. Now we have the immense privilege of being partners with God in heaven's mission to rescue the world. And it needs it. Now the awareness that you are enfolded in your life, you are enfolded by the love and purposes of heaven, that changes your outlook. The Bible calls this victorious living walking by the Spirit. You know, we can live in the flesh, the lower nature, the cravings of our lives, without regard for our being made in the image of God, or we can walk by the Spirit. Now, we're made in God's image, uniquely. Because the Lord has a great desire for us to live in partnering service with him, we are invited and urged to live in this continual conscious relationship with God. That's why God speaks through prayer. Prayer is not something formal, some religious ritual that we perform. Prayer is a means of communication that keeps the relationship flowing. If somebody said, oh yeah, we're great friends. We haven't talked in 50 years, but we're great friends. You'd say, no. God wants you talking with him. Take it to heart that the Lord is on your side. You may have had a boss who wanted you to carry out his orders or her orders. But if you had a question about how to do that, they didn't want you bothering them. Frustrating. Difficult way to live. But the Lord is not only our boss, he is our father and our friend. He's very glad to have us come into his office and sit on his knee. I think of JFK's kids in the Oval Office. Very happy. So in the same way, talk to him throughout your day. Shirley read from the prophet Isaiah. It's a famous passage, especially for the reminder that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. I could use some renewed strength, and I expect you could too. So what did Isaiah mean by wait for the Lord or wait on the Lord? The same thing Jesus was after in our passage, a continuous, conscious relationship with God. Of course, it's not this simple. I'm sorry, what was in that can? It's not this simple. Prayer is a little more hard work than cans and a string to heaven. We don't rush off and take things into our own hands without seeking to know and to do God's will. We don't look to the ways of this world, because those ways are at odds with the will of God, to fulfill our wishes. We wait for God. There's a process. The first step in waiting on the Lord is to make your desires known to God. Your Heavenly Father wants to know your concerns. what is on your heart. He simply loves you. Of course, our hearts need training. Sometimes we're in a bad place and we want what isn't pleasing to God. And that's one reason why prisons exist. So we need to learn the ways of God and recognize that they are best. Bible study, both personal and with others, is essential for our learning the ways of God. It'll also help us to learn and appreciate and understand the goodness of God more fully. You know, parents of little children have to do the right thing for the child, even if the child doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. When we trust in God's goodness, we can live peacefully, knowing that the sources and the forces of heaven are orchestrating our future. Go through life trusting that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him, including you. Then you can seize peace. Let God know the desires of your heart and then release them to him, knowing that he will work it all out for the best in the end. Isaiah was talking to a nation in crisis. He repeats the idea of growing faint and being weary over and over in that passage. Yet he says if they wait on the Lord, that those troubles are averted. Now, I imagine you've noticed it's easy to be weary in this world. Being worn out or under stress is practically a badge of honor. You know, we come into some setting, what a day! And it's like, oh, you poor thing. We're begging for sympathy, but it's sort of like, yeah, I got through it. The outcome is different if we walk by faith. If we commit our concerns to God and trust that in his goodness, he will provide what we need, we will not be worn out by the hard time. Jesus tells us we're going to experience them in this fallen world, but he has overcome the world. You know, I go through these episodes where I'll give you 12-step straight illustrations from baseball, and now I'm on my Appalachian Trail kick. But trust with me on that, because it's a journey. It fits that way. Baseball is all about getting home safe anyway, right? But hey, it's true. When you're going to do like a through hike, a really long hike, you can only carry about a week's worth of food in your pack. So they're not going to forage and hunt along the trail. So what they use is what's called a mail drop. Mail drops, it's a way to resupply. A lot of planning to this long distance hike. So a hiker will often get a few boxes together and pack what he or she will need at different points along the trail into these boxes, label them general delivery at the post office that they'll be passing near. But you can't just like mail them and expect them to still be there 6 months later when you get to Maine. Ooh. You know, the parka you need in Mount Katahdin in October, you don't need in June in Virginia. So if you need to find someone who will mail them for you at the right time. So you give instructions on all that. You know, you don't want to arrive at a post office and have the postmaster tell you that nothing is waiting for you in general delivery. But if you've asked someone who is both caring and competent, you know, I don't care how much your four-year-old loves you, you know, you're not giving them this job. But if you have entrusted somebody who is both caring and competent, you can walk with confidence. You can walk by faith and in peace. Can you see where the preacher's going with this? No one has a higher level of caring or competency than our Lord. As you walk through the challenges of your life, walk by faith. Make your desires known to the Lord by prayer. Prayer is the communication that brings Jesus companionship. what a privilege it is for you and me to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's pray. Oh Lord, this life is a long journey. But you know what we need. You care for us. And you want us to make all the wishes, the heartaches, the yearnings known to you, our loving Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, that each and every one who hears this message might walk in victorious peace in their lives, even when they face difficult times, to know that you are near, that you are caring, that you are working all things together for good, for those who trust you. Help us to do that. Bring calm and encouragement to those especially facing difficulty right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I believe we have